Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We bring you none of the hot take BS. We bring you best. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
Yes, indeed it is You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, it's great to be here with you today on the BetQL Network. Every game, Game 7, no hot take BS. We bring you the bets. We bring you the sports. On the Odyssey app, simulcast by our friends at Stadium up until 6 o'clock Eastern Time. YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. Twitch.tv/BetQL. And heard on radio stations across this great country of ours, including satellite radio, Sirius 160, XM 205. Ken and I here. We're bringing you the wagertainment. We're talking all things sports betting. Proudly presented today and always by the king of sportsbooks, the great people at BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and visit BetMGM.com. Giving BetMGM a workout on the NFL draft with a lot of these prop bets that have been put in. It's been absolutely awesome. So shout out to the king of sportsbooks. And it is a wonderful Wednesday, April 24th in the year of our Lord, 2024. We are... what are we, 27 hours away right now from the start of the NFL draft? Oh,
not commercial free, though. Not 27 hours of commercial free talk. No. Be a lot of commercials.
No.
A lot of breaks.
Yeah. There are commercials before the draft starts.
Yeah,
Shaquille just Alexander, Wrench at Holmgren. Sing 90s R&B. Ba-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum. The show is on Twitter at YouBetterYouBet.
In Detroit.
In Detroit, Caleb Williams with his blue nail polish steps up to the podium to be number one pick of the Chicago Bears. The show is on Twitter at You Better You Bet. I'm on Twitter and the gram at the Kostos. Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper. He's on Twitter on X at Lockie Lockerson. And on this wonderful Wednesday, two tremendous guests are coming your way. One of our absolute favorites when it comes to betting the NFL draft, the great Anthony Amico from Establish the Run. Taught Tyler in high school. Anthony Amico joins us on the show today to give us his latest and last mock draft before the NFL draft tomorrow and the bets that he feels most confident in. He is tracking the stuff, like, I think actually, like, literally 24/7. I'm going to have my daughter soon, and I'm not going to sleep a lot. I feel like Amico sleeps less than I will when I have a kid because the NFL draft is coming up.
He had
grinding the NFL
it
draft.
Jaden Daniels to not go second. That's the child that he had. That's what he's, yeah, he's looking after that child very carefully right now. Manicuring it, taking care of it. It's a big deal. Very responsible.
So Amico coming up a little later in the show, and we'll get bets for the NBA tonight, and we will talk the NBA postseason with our good buddy Matt Moore from the Action Network and the Buckets podcast. Matt Moore joins us coming up next hour on the show. Plus, badass betting breakdown is on the way from last night. We will hit you with all the NBA, including the heroics from Luka Doncic down the stretch as the Dallas Mavericks beat the LA Clippers, tie that series up at a game apiece. We will give you all the information and all the breakdown from last night, in the National Hockey League, including whatever the hell Connor Hellebuck was doing for the Winnipeg Jets. All the NHL breakdown, all the NBA breakdown from hashtag the betting perspective coming up soon here on the show. Also, like, we're one day away from the NFL draft. So obviously a lot of NFL draft coming up over the course of the show today. We have seen some markets move. We have seen a lot of stuff get bet. New information is starting to trickle out. We will report said information to you. It does not mean that said information is a lock to happen, but a lot of it is very interesting, and we will talk about it as we move along today, and can tell you that a lot of it centers around Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Like, this honestly, he could go in the fourth round, and I think after it's over, we would still call this the J.J. McCarthy draft. No matter what happens, he's been the biggest story, at least in betting circles, of this NFL draft, period. We will have a social segment later in the show. YouTube, Twitch, we'll tweet some stuff out as well from You Better You Bet, from my account at The Costos. We'll ask you what your favorite board game is, and we'll tell you why we're doing that, and we will do that later in the show. I'm excited to hear people's reactions, so we'll pump that up a little bit later in the show. We'll do that literally in the final segment of today's program. In the Power Hour, which is the final hour, we will give you all our bets coming up for tonight. We are locked and loaded. Wonderful Wednesday. One day away from the NFL draft. Ken Barkley, how you dern?
Oh, yeah. Dern great, I guess, would be the right answer to that question. I mean, we can do NFL draft pretty early on, I feel like, because we're both just so fired up about it. Even if we haven't bet a ton, but we've started betting, I had somebody reach out and be like, can you guys just go over what your bets are? Because I'm sure it's really confusing if you've listened the last couple of days. Like, I don't get what the bets are, because for me, there were zero so far. I did bet a couple things today, and we've dipped the toe in a little bit. I moved to market. How many people can say they did that? Anybody who bets this, apparently, you could say that you moved to market. So that's pretty fun. We can talk about that too. We can talk about last night. I have a couple NBA things I think are interesting. Our betting night, which I guess would be like most aptly described as a mixed bag, which typically is what will happen here. NBA playoffs, hockey playoffs, at least for NBA, good Dallas, terrible Phoenix, and it's exactly for the reason that I was worried, which is Grayson Allen gets hurt and doesn't return the rest of the game, and find ourselves kind of probably back where we started in a lot of ways. And shout out to the Florida Panthers. We'll probably talk about them too.
Oh man, I almost kind of want to start there. I guess, you know, the Knicks Sixers game the other night, and Ken is in some Twitter DM chats with like the people that bet and like people in the media that bet, and I am also, and just getting really, really funny messages from people about J.J. McCarthy right now, including one from our friend Anthony Amico, will join us later in the show, which I can't say on the air, but made me laugh really hard, and I feel like I had to laugh for a few seconds because it's great.
A rumor so good, it made an offshore make a market for it. That's how good the rumor was.
Ridiculous. So maybe we'll get to that coming up soon here, but I want to start with this, and we'll get to NBA in a second, and I know it's what getting you and I are over the grand scheme of the postseason more into the NBA, but maybe right now a little bit more into the NHL. First round of the hockey playoffs is always great. Knicks Sixers, Lakers Nuggets the other night was such like a sensational doubleheader. Both games were awesome. The endings of both games were majestic. Like, it was really, really enjoyable. So with that said, I actually think the best game so far of either postseason, NBA or NHL, was last night with the Panthers and the Lightning in Sunrise. What an unbelievable game with Sergei Bobrovsky and Andrei Vasilevsky both standing on their heads. The game goes to overtime and Florida wins it. So shout out to Ken, shout out to me if you bet the Florida Panthers. This was awesome. Carter Verhaeghe with the winner. Florida, Ken, has now won 11 consecutive playoff overtime games. The second longest streak in the history of the National Hockey League. Verhaeghe now has 5 playoff overtime game-winning goals, a third in NHL history behind only Maurice Rocket Richard and Joe Sakic, like pretty elite company that Carter Verhaeghe is in right now. And the Lightning have now lost 11 of their last 12 playoff overtime games. And think about their run of success, back-to-back cups, made the cup final the third year, lost to the Colorado Avalanche. So just like a really, really interesting game, great sporting event. So to at least like give that its props here. If you have anything you want to say about it, we can move on to other stuff in a second.
Yeah, I mean, we did a lot yesterday on the show and going into the playoffs, but just kind of re-upped it yesterday with the idea that I think Florida is the most likely team to win. Now, it's worth noting, if you're really kind of you don't have to be in the weeds, but look, we don't do a lot of hockey injuries on this show. Sam Bennett, who's the Panthers' second line center, upper body injury, got hit in the hand with a puck, it looked like, during the game last night, and going to be out probably at least for the next couple games, but then after that, like, TBD. Not the most impactful player, but look, you don't want to be losing second line center at this point in the postseason. Maybe they can get through the Tampa series without him, and then he'll be hopefully available for the second round series, which will be against either Toronto or Boston, and tonight's game between those two teams will have a lot to say about who that is. But look, I mean, for Vasilevsky to do what he did, where he was incredible, and which he's done before in the playoffs, one of the great postseason goalies ever, and for the Panthers to still win, look, I mean, it's just, there is a the Nuggets and Panthers have more in common other than that I both bet them to win their respective championships. They have like, I mean, just these like cliche words that come to, like, they have this grit or determination or clutchness, everything you might hear on First Take this morning. They both teams like present with those exact characteristics. You read the Panthers overtime streak. Like, one of the great traits of Stanley Cup champions is a ton of familiarity and a ton of success in very close games, and it's measurable, and all of them have it. And spoiler alert, the Panthers have it too. And other teams have it too in the postseason. It doesn't just have to be the Panthers. But you can see why, maybe like one of the 20 reasons why I'd like them. And they showed it again last night, so that was great. Verhaeghe's going to be really interesting because I did not like him to win the Conn Smythe. I said that yesterday. He scores the winner and Bennett gets hurt. And it's like, do we have to add this player now? Like, what do we do where, and Bobrovsky plays great, but he makes the save of the postseason last night. And there have already been a couple kind of saves of the postseason. Thatcher Demko had a great one in game one before he got hurt. So really interesting game, but yeah, just, it's so, it just, when you're invested in these teams over the long haul for the season, and fans of the teams will obviously be the same way, but bettors, you know, if you bet futures markets, like, this is your squad, like, living and dying with these games, like, you have such an appreciation for both these teams. We had the Nuggets two nights ago, and we had the Panthers last night. Like, when they're up against it, like, you get their best, and like, what an awesome trait for two teams to have, one of the reasons I like them both.
Yeah, and it was a really, really obviously magnificent sporting event, and great for us with the bets on the Florida Panthers. I will say, Verhaeghe scores a couple, even if like he doesn't have the best stats. Feels like if he scores a couple more like big goals, doesn't even have to be like playoff overtime winners, I think like this narrative is going to start that this is one of like the great clutch players like maybe sure. ever. Like we'll need a cup like to get him over the top. Right. Like he's never going to be thought of like Sakic.
It's like randomly like, clutch. Right, it's, right? Like, it's like a bizarre one, right? It's like, well, and to be fair, Tkachuk, I think, had three last postseason. So he has three of them, and he's, like, the better player. I think they're both great, but he's the better player, obviously, and he's the lower-priced player to win. Like, I think, like, Verhaeghe would have to, like, keep doing this, and everyone else would have to kind of be whatever. I feel like if another player is still emerging, I don't know if Verhaeghe would, like, win the Conn Smythe with another, like, really good player playing well on the team. Bobrovsky continuing to do this as a two-time Vezina winner and making the saves he made last night. Tkachuk had another assist last night, scored the empty netter in game one. So, like, everyone's accumulating here. I'll be really interested, like, how the stat breakdown ends up for the Panthers. And we're only in round one. I mean, like, the big games are yet to come. I mean, when, like, you watch the Rangers play and you watch Carolina play, and it's not for the whole game, but just like a monster awaits in the conference finals in like a big time matchup. If the Panthers are even able to get there, like, you know, who's scoring those goals? Still, this is still kind of like the appetizer round for sure.
And if the Panthers are able to get past the Lightning, up 2-0 in that series, with the series shifting back to Amalie Arena. It's me showing off my knowledge of like esoteric hockey arenas in Tampa. If the Panthers are able to win the series, they would play the winner of Leafs-Bruins in the next round. The Leafs and Bruins game three coming up tonight from Toronto. Later this hour, it moved, coming up on all the playoff games tonight. Toronto-Boston, Dallas-Vegas, Edmonton and LA in the NHL, the Celtics in the Heat, OKC and New Orleans in the NBA. We will get to the Mavericks beating the Clippers last night, Minnesota just stifling the Phoenix Suns, and Indiana handing it to Milwaukee behind a great effort from Pascal Siakam, and more on the NHL in a little bit. But let's hit the J.J. McCarthy thing here, Ken, in the time that we have remaining in this segment.
Yeah, sure.
And then we can start next segment with the NBA, and we'll do more NFL draft. We have a whole segment allotted to it next hour, and I'm sure we'll drop it in throughout the show. What can you tell us, Ken, about what's happening with the third overall pick market and how people are betting Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy a little more than 24 hours out from the NFL draft?
Yeah, I mean, this started a couple hours ago, and it's trackable, right? Like, the more that you start being in like circles of information, however you want to describe it. This could just be like, you got texts from friends that you know that also bet, you're in DM chats, you're on Signal, you're on Telegram, you're on all this stuff. Like, you end up, the more that you share with other people, the more you end up being connected, and so you end up hearing stuff. And, you know, I think a pretty good amount of people probably heard a couple hours ago, like, started some rumbling, and I saw it in a couple places, and then I think you saw it in another place, that maybe McCarthy is a little more likely to go third to the Patriots than the market has right now. So the markets for one, well, the market for one is basically closed, Caleb Williams going one, and the market for two is definitely not closed, and it is interesting that it did not increase today. Jaden Daniels basically as big of a favorite to go second today as it was yesterday, and we're closer, and you would figure like the closer we get to the event, the more likely that outcome becomes. He's still a big favorite. His price actually at MGM on the screen slightly less than it was yesterday, just to be the second overall pick. You know, you just kind of go, all right, like, that's kind of funny that that's, we're not done with that yet. And then the noticeable line movement in the market. So whether you're like, well, I didn't get the information, whether you get it or not, just look at front facing, look at the markets, look at how they're moving. The places that take the most and take rebets got slammed with JJ McCarthy third money. And that took the form of Daniels not to go third and May not to go third, which were two markets you could bet at that particular sports book. There was no McCarthy third overall market at that book. And then they created one because they took it down. They got so many bets
so
on the
fun.
Nose
it's
for
really
both.
Funny,
they're
right?
Like, let's take some bets. Let's open a McCarthy two-way yes-no. And the under on McCarthy's draft position, wherever you're betting, you've probably noticed that's moved a lot. That started here and started at a variety of locals where that started getting bet based on this information. Again, you hear he's going to go third, you're going to make two bets, right? You're going to bet him to go third. Maybe you bet under 5.5. Also, I bet under 5.5. Like, if any... like media outlets would like a quote, be like the number moved, like who knows. I moved it like 18 cents. I don't really know anything. I can give you that quote if you want. So there's no secret mastermind sometimes behind this stuff. So yeah, it, you know, the market has moved in the last couple hours toward McCarthy going third, really making it just more of a toss up than anything in the market. Not that it's actually a toss up with the Patriots, with who they're going to pick. Are they going to pick Drake May? Are they going to pick JJ McCarthy? Are they going to trade the pick? Those three options all seem viable.
And a little later in the show, like, if JJ McCarthy does go third overall, what happens then? How can we profit off of it? We'll talk about it as we move along. NBA and NHL breakdown from last night as well. You better, you bet on a Wednesday. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.
The Mavs, 13 of 32, 41%. Doncic, 5 to shoot. Against Harden, Doncic lines it up. It goes! He is that guy!
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL network.
How great is Ian Eagle? Ian Eagle with the call last night. Turner Sports as the Mavericks beat the Clippers 96-93. Paul George making a meaningless three at the buzzer. I guess maybe not meaningless depending on if you got like some kind of number of ball points, whatever. But the Mavericks end up winning the game 96-93. Luka, unbelievable at the end, tosses up a 32-6-9. Nice. But the three-pointer was obviously great. That's the call we played coming back from break. But the play before that, when Paul George tried to like pick his pocket from behind and steal the ball from him, and Luka was able to keep his dribble and find P.J. Washington in the corner for a three-pointer, like those two plays back-to-back, Kawhi Leonard's awesome. Like, Luka Doncic's the best player in this series. Luka's unbelievable. And the Dallas Mavericks tie the series up at a game apiece, and it will now head back to Dallas coming up on Friday. So we saw the Mavericks beat the Clippers last night. Minnesota handle Phoenix in kind of like an embarrassing fashion for the Phoenix Suns, Ken. And Indiana smack Milwaukee in the mouth as that series gets ready to shift back to Indiana. We don't know Giannis' status yet, when Giannis will return for the Milwaukee Bucks. So I don't think we have like Lakers Nuggets to lead off with here. I think we could lead with a couple different things here. So we'll make sure we get it all in. Dealer's choice to you. What stands out the most from Tuesday night in the NBA playoffs?
Kind of all of them and none of them. So just like a big picture thing, which I was going to do last segment, but there's just, you know, JJ McCarthy might get drafted third. You kind of have to cut in with that instead of going with the old NBA unders thing. I'm not the first person to bring this up, but we haven't talked about it a lot on this show, and we're starting to get more and more data points on it. I think most people know, like, as postseason series go along, they get lower scoring and the totals go down because there's familiarity between the teams. You'll see that in the betting market all the time. That's certainly nothing new. But we have sort of like an on steroids version of how the NBA officiated their games to close the season happening in the playoffs right now. The foul rate is almost exactly the same. So it's not like they're calling, I mean, how could you call fewer fouls than what they called in March and April? But they're continuing, they're consistently letting guys play. I think there's no question about that. If you watch the games, you see that. If you listen to how many teams complain about officiating, I mean, the Sixers filed a grievance basically against an entire 48 hours of basketball. The grievance was filed against, as opposed to just like, well, that one play, like, no, just the whole thing. No, just the whole thing sucked, and we're filing a grievance against that. D'Angelo Russell, which is funny because the Lakers shoot more free throws than anybody else. It's you see it, and this was heavily reported in the back half
LeBron
of the season.
LeBron, too.
Yeah, scoring was way up. In the first part of the year, I think everybody kind of knows this, but in case you haven't followed this narrative through to its conclusion, it is really interesting. Adam Silver had a huge problem in that scoring and foul shooting specifically, the amount of free throws the teams took during games, flopping, the ability to draw fouls, players like Jalen Brunson and Trae Young and some of the more elite superstars in the league who do it all the time, the Lakers, period. It made the product not as enjoyable. It made the scores astronomical. I think we all remember, like, what was it, the Luka 60-plus point game against the Hawks, the clips of just like layup, like, does anybody like this? And that got to the Players Association and Silver, and it got to like some of the higher ups, and there's no question there's like a concerted decision has been made to change how the game's officiated. It started in like February, March, carried over to the end of the season. This is very measurable in foul rate, which is how many free throws teams shoot, how many fouls they draw, and free throws that they shoot in the course of a game. And it just spiked hard down, absolutely crashed, where you weren't shooting as many foul shots. And you see it. If you watch the game, you kind of know what I mean. But there's data to back up what you're seeing. And I think when we got to the playoffs, you know, I think people kind of thought, like, yeah, same thing. Are they going to go back to the bad way? Like, no, they're going to keep officiating the series this way. And it led to a lot of fun discussions, I think, about, well, who benefits the most from this? Like, teams are playing completely differently or have to play completely differently than they did before. If you're a finesse team, like, I don't know, Phoenix, for example, would come to mind. Like, maybe this isn't great for you that this is happening when you play a team like Minnesota, who's the number one defense in the NBA. It didn't have to work out like this, but there was an example of it in that game, and you just look at the scores of some of the games. The Mavs and Clippers just played a 96-93 game. Now, it was a very entertaining 96-93 game, but it was still a 96-93 game, and this is not, you know, November 140-132 million free throw basketball, and it's fun to watch the totals markets continue to try to keep up with what's happening, because it's not just that the foul rate has stayed basically the same. Now we're in the playoffs and the pace in these games has nosedived, and the pace is down like 6-7 possessions a game. If you go to the first halves, it's different. I mean, it's just, it's all even slower. So it's now, so now we're playing slow basketball and we're not calling a lot of fouls like we were before. Before we were playing fast basketball and we weren't calling a lot of fouls. Now we're doing both. And you start to see 96-93, nothing out of the ordinary for what we've seen in the playoffs so far. And in fact, this is a very average scoreline for what we've seen so far. And so it's not like, hey, Ken noticed this, no one else sees this. Look at the betting markets for some of these totals. Every total is down like 4 points. The Celtics closed 210.5 in game one. It's 205. Like, it just, we got it. But I just think, like, if you're not...
And it's been driven sure down. We'll talk about that next segment, right? That total's been driven down a lot from open. Yeah.
If what do you think the sharp action is on every playoff game that's listed right now, if you had to guess? Because it's like, hey, not only is this happening, but now we're getting into, well, as the series goes on, there's less scoring too. Now we have both those things happening in tandem, where it's like, well, we're going to officiate this way, the pace is going to be slow, and now you know each other really well. So now who's scoring any points? Like, should the total in Cavs Magic be 175? I mean, it's just like, it's going to get really crazy, I think, as these series go on. So, you know, there's always going to be that point. And I don't, like, I am not smart enough to know the answer to this, but there will always be a point where it's like, well, when is it enough? When is it like, well, now these totals really, really accurately reflect what's happening? It's always going to be like a slow drift, I feel like, where it's going to be partly how the game was before and partly how it is right now. But it's really, it's so interesting to follow. We had two games last night go under their totals, obviously, with Phoenix and Minnesota, and then the game we were just talking about. And then the game that I think if you had to pick a series that would be immune from this kind of, I mean, look, it's the Pacers. They don't want to do any of that stuff. Like, they want to score a million points. The Bucks don't have their best player, who's their only impactful defensive player. If you were going to pick a game that would go over the total last night, you would probably have picked that one. And the Pacers scored a lot of points. But in general, I mean, unders are just crushing. First quarter, first half, full game, the whole thing. Player point unders. Parlaying all of these rebound overs, because remember, it's a slow paced game with a lot of misses. Remember, how many like 15, 20 rebound games have we seen from guys so far? Jokic has had one. Valanciunas had one the other night against the Thunder. Like, you see this stuff and it's like, well, this is what's going on. So I think you have an interesting decision in the short term here, tonight, tomorrow night, the next night, where it's like, do you keep playing on some of this with the idea that, like, maybe it runs out of gas soon, maybe the totals get so low that you don't want to play under anymore? Do you try to pick and choose which series you want to do that in? How do you want to play statistical stuff, knowing that this is happening? And it's a real thing. This isn't like home teams did really well in the first game, and there's no frickin' explanation for why that would happen, just random that home teams did really well. There's a big explanation for what's... It's not just like, wow, unders are doing really well, flip of the coin. Not flip of the coin. That's like the whole reason the markets are moving, because the entire sport is being officiated differently. So just like we saw two and one really specific example of that last night with Clippers. So just kind of wanted to like tie those two games together with that. We can talk about the individual games and stuff too, but I just think that stuff's really interesting.
And a couple notes on that. Nick and Ken here, you bet on a Wednesday. So Pacers-Bucks is the one game that went over the total last night, 233 points. The Game 3 total opens, and like I don't think Giannis is going to play, although maybe he might. And the total opened less than it closed last night for Game 3 after we saw 233 points scored in Game number 2. And next segment, when we talk about the Celtics and Heat, I do think this is interesting that there has been, like, I think... a good amount of ping-ponging back and forth on this total, where I crashed all the way down and now has been bet a couple points
that's been happening, right?
The last, like, hour. It's wild.
Think about it. If it drops, like, 3-4... This happened with Cavs Magic Game 2, where it's like... So I'm sure there's somebody out there, or a lot of people out there, that are like, look, I know it's down, guys, but, like, 204, like, come on. And then they play the over, and it's like... Nah, like I'm not into that in these games right now. Like, I think not betting is fine. Like, you think, like, hey, like all the totals dropped, it's all good. I mean, I don't know how you play it over right now. Anything over like 205, I don't know how you play it over on anything. Maybe Pacers Bucks, maybe. But even then, it's kind of like, really? And the Nuggets of Lakers have played the fastest pace so far, I think, of any series. Their games aren't going over, so it's just really, really interesting.
Yeah, that was, what, 101.99 the other night, right? The Jamal Murray buzzer beater. Celtics Heat, I believe, was 208.5. Then it was 203.5, and now we're sitting at 205.5. We'll give you a full accounting of how that market has moved, and we'll talk about it coming up next segment here. But I have to ask this question now, and we'll do it at the end of the show. But, like, we can't do the last couple minutes and then, like, not have this be addressed right now. Like, are you betting both unders tonight in the NBA?
I mean, my thing is, like, so I said, like, I'm not smart enough to answer the question of how long is too long. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is not my area of expertise. Like, I can tell you who's going to win the Stanley Cup with remarkable accuracy. When the NBA totals unders trend has reached the breaking point, I don't know. I can tell you, like, what average pace and average efficiencies are. Kind of like, if you use that, what some of these totals should be. I can tell you a lot of them are pretty close. I can tell you, like, pace and average efficiency should create an average total. Not that every total should be like this. None of them should be like this. But the average should be, like, you know, 204, 205. It's like kind of what they should be so far based on how the pace and the efficiency are playing. Okay, we had 205 tonight in Boston. We've got lower than that in Knicks, Sixers, and Cavs Magic, which I don't think anybody disagrees with. Clippers, Mavs open lower. Timberwolves, Suns opened 209 and immediately got bet down 2 points. I mean, just not surprising. So I think my problem is, like, if you bet these unders, you can still be right and you can still win money. This would have been true last. We could have done the exact same thing again yesterday and you would have gone 2-1. So I mean, it's not like it's you have to lose now. Just when you see it open lower and you see it get bet down 2 to 3 points, you're like, am I making like a good bet? I'm getting the worst of it versus everyone out there. Maybe sometimes the worst of it can still be good. Everybody bets something. You bet it. The Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? We're all going to bet it. We're all going to win. Like, who cares what the number is? Just these NBA totals. Like, you wish you had the better number. You wish you betted it open. You wish, you know, just, and for people listening to this right now. So just, the minimum I would say is, I'm going to bet there were a lot of people listening that, like, kind of thought it was a thing, but hadn't measured it. And just to provide, like, a ton of clarity that it's, like, not just a very real thing. It's happening. The market is responding to it. The prop markets are responding to it. And, you know, a lot of people like to do SGPs. A lot of people like to bet overs on star players. A lot of people like to do all this stuff. This seems like a terrible postseason for all the bets that people like to make. This seems like the worst kind of postseason to cash any of those bets.
And I think the game from last night that we should talk about first off of that has to be Minnesota over Phoenix, right? So the Wolves beat the Suns 105-93. And by the way,
yeah, how are those Sun star overs going? Yeah, so,
right. Also, like, what about the Wolves start last night at least? Like, Edwards would have gone over in game one. Jaden McDaniels is the star of the game last night. Like, unequivocally, 25 points on, like, stifling defense for the Wolves. They go up 2-0 in the series. And then, like, people will look at the final score if you didn't watch the game and see Minnesota won by 12. Think, okay, like, Minnesota handled them. They punked Phoenix in this game. Like, I think the final score is a little flattering to the Phoenix Suns that they only lost this game by 12 points. I don't think that's kind of like an accurate measurement of how badly Minnesota, frankly, like, and I bet Phoenix in the game, Minnesota kicked their ass in this game, and they've handled them now twice in this series, buoyed by Edwards' explosion in the third quarter in game number one. We both like Phoenix before the series. I bet them last night. All of these things look awful, and the series is going to go back to the desert now. Let's start here with Minnesota and Phoenix. I don't know if I have a lot of confidence in Phoenix here, and I think I'm done trying to, like, dig out of this Phoenix Suns hole for now. Hopefully they're able to get back into it.
Yeah, I mean, the teams go down 0-2 and they go home and they win a couple games. It happens. An evenly matched series probably, you know, happens a little bit more often. The Suns played the Nuggets in the second round last year, dropped first two games in Denver, went home, played a lot better. It can happen. I think what would concern you is, it doesn't seem like, as much as these teams were a great fit for Phoenix in the regular season, and we had Matt Moore on an hour, and he tweeted a lot of stuff about this, where as much as, like, the regular season was like, man, Phoenix really handled Minnesota. Edwards played very poorly in those games. Regular season doesn't lend itself to, like, in-game adjustments from, like, one game to the next, rather. So, like, game one to game two, game two to game three, and how you want to, like, handle a team and how you want to guard them. It's much more just like, well, we're going to do what we do, and we just play the Suns tonight, and we'll see how it goes. There's a little bit more of that. And what you're seeing is, like, the more adjusting, the more effort that's been put into kind of how these teams fit together, that Minnesota's just played way better. Role players have been way better. Maybe that's a byproduct of being at home. Towns kind of vacillates from being, like, awesome and stupid and then awesome and stupid, but it's, like, it's helpful and it's good enough in a lot of situations. And I actually think the Grayson Allen injury is just, like, such a big deal. Not that, like, look, Booker, Durant, and Beal all didn't shoot well. So it's not like Grayson Allen got hurt and, like, that's why they lost. But I think it's just a big deal for the rest of the series. Like, I care less almost that they lost both than that, like, a team that has six quality players lost one of them. And a guy who's going to play a million minutes the rest of the series might now, I mean, that looked terrible. He might be unavailable now for, like, several games. He's listed questionable officially for game three. Like, that's a bigger deal almost to me in betting Phoenix in game three than, hey, like, they didn't play very well last night.
Give me 30 seconds on something in either Dallas Clippers, Pacers, Bucks. I think Pacers, Bucks a little harder. We don't know when Giannis is coming back. I will say about, for me, for Dallas Clippers, I think the Mavericks are going to win the series after they won the game last night and how well Luka played, even with the return of Kawhi Leonard.
Pacers, Bucks, the most interesting thing is, like, how much do you want to ride these unders on both Halliburton now and Lillard with how both teams are guarding the opposing team's best player? Double teams, hard traps. We bet Halliburton's under last night at one. Didn't shoot very much. Part of that is because what shots was he supposed to take? He was double team the whole time. Like, those two stat unders might be the way to play that series until Giannis comes back.
Maybe just like Damian Lillard's second half unders. He scored a billion points in the first half and then nothing in the second half. It's wild. On the other side, we get you set for all of tonight's action in the NBA and the NHL postseason and a little NFL draft line movement as well, with it moved.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. You by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Anthony Amico from Establish the Run coming up in 20 minutes, giving us bets for the NFL draft. And then Ken Barkley and yours truly, we will run through scenarios. If J.J. McCarthy is going to be the third pick in the draft, whether it's via to the Patriots or a team trades up to get J.J. McCarthy, in this scenario, presumably New England stands pat, pun intended, and takes J.J. McCarthy, like, what happens from there? Are there any bets that should be placed as a result? Ken and I will talk about that next hour on the show. We will also get NBA bets for tonight and overall NBA postseason betting thoughts from our friend Matt Moore from the Action Network. Final Hour, Power Hour will feature all our bets for tonight. And we'll take some of your submissions, YouTube and Twitch, and on Twitter, for favorite board game. I'm excited to talk about this with the crew. I've once again composed a list of my own, like top five favorite board games. We'll talk about it with the entire crew, including the returning downtown Mike Brown, who got married over the weekend. Great to have God's Perfect Creation back with us here on the show. We will get to all the line movement for tonight with it moved coming up in a second. But just to talk some more NHL from last night, because we had four games played. We only touched on the Florida-Tampa game in the opening segment. And just to get this in here, because the game three of the series is not tonight, the Islanders have announced Ilya Sorokin will start for game three as the series shifts back to Long Island. Who? Ilya Sorokin. It's not even Varlamov's fault that they're down 2-0, but I think it's a necessary move by Patrick Waugh and the Isles. We'll talk more about that series tomorrow on the show. So we touched on Florida and Tampa in the opening segment. We also saw the Rangers beat the Capitals. Not a big surprise there. Maybe like all the goals, a little surprising. 4-3, the final score, with the Blue Shirts winning. I think the two really interesting results. Connor Hellebuyck gets shelled by the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs win the game 5-2. Hellebuyck now in his last six postseason games, stretching back to last year, 1-5, 4.34 goals against average, and a save percentage of .876, which is absolutely, absolutely brutal. And then we saw Nashville beat Vancouver 4-1, first game for the Canucks without Thatcher Demko. Andrew Brunette, Nashville coach, saying after the game, quote, "We needed to experience the pain." 31 blocked shots last night for Nashville, and Vancouver saying to a man in the locker room after the game, they were outworked by the Nashville Predators, and that the Predators, to use a cliche, wanted it more last night. So Ken, thoughts other than the Panthers and Lightning last night in the National Hockey League, and then we'll get set for tonight with it moved.
Yeah, I liked Vancouver in the under in that game, and the defense did not show up for Casey DeSmith. Like, maybe it was prognosticated, perhaps, that it would. I mean, that series, and I don't think that's surprising, is going to hinge on whether Demko actually comes back for the end of the series. Week to week, the way hockey injuries are, like, I don't even follow this as closely as a lot of people, but if you're like, really, like, how do they do this stuff? I mean, it's like upper body, lower body, week to week is like pretty much all you get from a lot of this stuff, with like a lot of a lack of clarity in a lot of the situations. So if Demko comes back, like you asked me before the show, what's my best guess for how the series plays out? And at that exact moment, like an hour ago, I was like, Demko comes back late, Vancouver in seven is maybe would be my favorite outcome of all outcomes. And I was like, second would be he never comes back, Nashville in six. That would be the second choice in the market. And now as time goes by and he becomes less likely to return, great. Then those two will flip, and Nashville will be more likely to win the series in six than Vancouver will be to win it in seven. It becomes coin flippy when Demko doesn't play. So I think that's surprising. The market for the game two nights from now is Nashville a very short home favorite. I don't think that's surprising to anybody based on what we've seen so far. The other game, I don't know what to do with that. Like, that Hellebuck's been so bad, and you and I both have Winnipeg to win the series, and it's tied at one, but it's tied at one, and it feels like everything about the series is now toward Colorado, going home where they have a tremendous home ice advantage. Hellebuck's been terrible. It's tough to be
and
really
Gorgiev
optimistic about
bounced
Winnipeg.
Back. Gorgiev sure. Bounced back last night for Colorado in net.
Well, and the top-end talent for Colorado always kind of, like, would make you comfy if you bet them in the series, with Makar and MacKinnon, obviously. I don't have a strong opinion on that series, right? I have Winnipeg from before the series. I haven't, like, changed or added or anything. Just that's probably the one that I have the least idea what's going to happen. I think Vancouver, I think we know if Demko plays this and if he doesn't this. And with Winnipeg, Colorado, I feel like I have no idea.
And Colorado, bad news for the Winnipeg Jets. I've got some bad news for us, Winnipeg Jets bettors. Colorado, best home record in the National Hockey League during the regular season. The series about to shift to Mile High. I'm very worried, very, very worried about these Winnipeg Jets series tickets, unfortunately, right now, against the Colorado Avalanche. All right, we'll do more National Hockey League later in the show, all our bets for the games tonight. And before we give you bets for those games and for the NBA, we got to get you set with what's happening in the betting market with all the lines, all the sides, and all the totals. With this edition, Downtown Mike Brown and Jake Hassan of It Moved.
I think it moved. I think it moved. I think it moved.
It moved.
It's different on a Wednesday, day before the NFL draft. Ken, let's start in the association. Celtics and Heat. Terrible game one. Celtics win by a billion. What are we expecting tonight in game two? Side, I don't think people will be surprised by, but I think the total movement in this game has been really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, game one, to a certain extent, played out like a very expected, almost like exhibition basketball game for the Celtics. They played very well. They made a ton of three-pointers, I believe 23, something like that, shot very well from three. And the final score was essentially masked by the Heat, who, and I do remember, I'm sure you remember this, in the finals a few years ago when they played the Lakers, so two finals ago for them, that we would bet the Heat in every fourth quarter against the spread because
oh, yeah.
They were close, so it was trying to, hashtag Heat culture. They were one of the great fourth quarter
hashtag
teams.
Lakers early, Heat late.
Heat
was awesome
late.
For us in the bubble
finals.
And it worked
finals. In basically every game. It worked. And the Heat in the fourth quarter were remarkable. They had been remarkable that postseason up to this point. So just like another chapter of that kind of dumb book played out in game one, where they really almost backdoored the game, and the Celtics still covered, but you had a pretty big sweat if you laid the Celtics with the points in the game. But like, the winner of the game was never in doubt. And look, I think this is going to be kind of a fake series. The point spreads are going to be massive. It's tough to know what to do when the market projects a blowout, and that's probably just right. Celtics 14.5 at home. You know, not a lot going on in the side market for this game. There's been basically no line movement at all. The total, which you alluded to, and for people that listened to the last couple segments, we talked about how well unders have done, pace down, officials still calling fouls at a very low rate as they were in the regular season. Those two things in combination, qualities of the defenses that made the playoffs. I mean, teams that raised their defensive profile. The Clippers were a terrible defensive team in the regular season. Now they look great for two games. That's with some of their personnel hurt. We see these totals just nosediving in a bunch of these games, and I think justifiably so, and we're seeing it with tomorrow night's games also. The total in this game closed 210.5 when it was played over the weekend, game one. We have not changed venue. There are no new significant injuries in the game, and MGM is on the screen is dealing 203.5. I would say 205, 205.5 is more like the consensus number in the market. But to give you an idea of, like, we've gone one game with no injuries and we're 5 points down, like, it's just... You just don't see that normally. You'll see small decreases as the series goes on. Sometimes something like this, if there's like a 91-79 game or something that really upsets what we think, but game one wasn't like that. And 205, 205.5 in the market right now. Celtics 14.5-point favorite. We've had such good playoff nights, and it's like they looked at tonight and they were like, nah, let's put like Celtics Heat and Pelicans Thunder and no third game and call it a day.
Talk to us about the Thunder and the Pels. It was a good game. Game one was awesome. Betting market thinks that game two might not be as awesome, Ken.
Oh, man. Can the Pels muster that again, right? And maybe come through with a win this time. There are things about how the teams fit together that should be, like, make you pretty optimistic for at least like the Pelicans to be competitive in the series. Can they win on the road after kind of letting game one get away? Who knows? Worth noting, that was a brutally low scoring game one, even worse than what we saw, not worse, but just even less scoring than we saw with the Clippers and the Mavs last night. And the total in this game, you'll be surprised or you won't to hear, has been beating bet under. 213.5 was the opener, 211.5 is where we are in the game right now. So again, consistent trend in all these totals, just important to know why that's happening. And that's for a really good reason. This isn't like some trend run amok that isn't based in reality. This is happening. The games are really being officiated like this. The side of the game, much like the Celtics game, has seen basically no interest. The Thunder are 7.5 points favorites. This is a very similar side market to what we saw in game one, where the Pelicans were obviously very competitive.
All right, that's the NBA for tonight. The Celtics and the Heat and the Thunder and the Pelicans. Ken, let's go to the National Hockey League, and let's start with the Leafs and the Bruins, where Jeremy Swayman back in net for Boston. Thank God for the Bees as the series shifts back to Toronto, tied at a game apiece. The series is going to make me lose my hair, and I really like my hair.
So I think for people who have followed this, you know this. In case you don't, Jeremy Swayman started game one, and the Bruins won and looked great, and Swayman played well. Linus Ullmark, who won the Vezina last year, but who got like platoons with Swayman because the Bruins have awesome goalies, he was given the nod in game two. Jim Montgomery is going to play this strategy of going back and forth and not riding a hot goalie. Austin Matthews' breakaway goal. The Maple Leafs win in Boston in game two with Ullmark starting. We go to Toronto for game three. Here's Swayman again. Worth noting, Swayman has just absolutely crushed the Maple Leafs this season. Played great. Again, so why did Ullmark start in game two again? Who knows? But Swayman will start tonight. Probably give you a little more optimism if you're a Boston fan. Ilya Samsonov, we were talking about this before the show, or maybe in the break last segment, played much better in game two. I kind of think this feels like an under game if Swayman's confirmed as the starter, which he is. The total is 6. That has not moved at all. Basically a pick'em kind of a market, despite the fact that Toronto has home ice advantage.
All right, that's the Leafs and the Bruins. Ken, what about the Stars and the Knights? Game two coming up in Dallas. Vegas upsetting Dallas in game one.
Really interesting two-way action that happened here, where there was an incredible push even last night on Dallas to bet them out to a really, really big favorite in this second game. Obviously, you have a team down 0-1 playing at home in game two. Same goalies we had in game one, Logan Thompson and Jake Ottinger. And Mark Stone, who returned from injury, played like a billion minutes, so he's fine. Vegas, all good. It's not an injury thing. People, it's just genuine interest in Dallas. They got out to like 170, 180 in a bunch of places last night, and there has been a pullback on that, where Vegas has started to get bet a little bit. Where we've settled is pretty close to where we opened, but still a little bit toward Dallas. Opened about -160. They're currently about -165, -170 everywhere.
And close it out, Ken. Oilers and Kings game two tonight in Edmonton. Oilers winning game one, 7-4.
Yeah, I mean, here's a follow-up to a shellacking, and the market expects like an Edmonton win again. There was a little bit of interest in the Kings, but not a lot. -190, -195 were the openers. We're -185, -190 now. Curious if the Kings can do anything to kind of get in the way of what Edmonton's doing on offense. And the crowd was great in game one, too. Those Canada crowds. It's always really, my wife was even watching. She pointed out, she goes, man, the games are in Canada. They're like nuts. I was like, yes. Yes, they are. they are very nuts. So we'll see that again tonight.
And the first period in Winnipeg last night was awesome, too. They were up 1-0. And then Colorado scored a billion goals in the second period. Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up on the other side. And coming up next hour on the show, Ken and I will roll through the NFL draft. We'll talk about J.J. McCarthy and the third overall pick. Matt Moore gives us bets on the NBA playoffs. But we will start NFL draft bets with one of the best to do it. Anthony Amico from ETR joins Nick and Ken right after this.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.